This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's not all tacos and tequila. It's not all guacamole and refried beans. We are talking Mexican food, Mexican specialities. Tomorrow, of course, the Mexican festival happening right here in Melbourne. So you need to get involved. We're going to get ourselves slightly into some mezcal, some good tequila, and of course, some brilliant Mexican food. Stay with me. We're going to enjoy the remainder of the afternoon. Yes, we are talking cravings. Good afternoon. 6 minutes past one on a Saturday afternoon. Footy finals have started. I'm a little bit excited because my team remains. I need to say thank you to Tony from Melbourne. He has become a member of our organisation. A membership has been received, a business membership, gaydomains.com.au. Thank you, Tony, in Melbourne. Tomorrow, speaking of Melbourne, the Mexican Festival, it is a window to Mexico. You can explore all of the regions of Mexico, delight your senses, tantalise your taste buds. It's happening at Federation Square from 11:30 tomorrow morning, and I'm delighted to welcome to the studio three proponents of all things Mexican. The chef is Arturo Morales. He's the proprietor and chef of Los Amates in Fitzroy. Arturo, welcome.
Thanks, Pete.
What's the best way to say welcome in Spanish?
Bienvenido.
Bienvenidos. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Gracias.
Also, Owen Smythe, who is the proprietor of MrMexico.com, selling tequila, mezcal, craft Mexican beers and authentic foods. Bienvenido.
Buenas tardes, Pedro.
Okay, now you're just trying to confuse me. And from Mexican standoff, Mezcal Tequila, Daniel Albanez, welcome.
Thank you, Pete.
Just moving a little bit closer to your mics, guys. First of all, for you two it makes sense. I'm assuming you're both Mexican gentlemen, Arturo and Daniel.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
How long have you been in Australia, Arturo?
About 33 years in November, actually.
33 years?
Yeah.
It's been here almost longer than I have.
I know.
And Daniel, how long have you been here?
6 years.
6 years. And what is it about Australia that first of all brought you here?
Look, Australia, it's a country that has so much to it and tends to be exotic in our eyes. We live too close to America, so we want something else, and Australia was a place to offer that.
And yet Mexico is exotic in our eyes. We're always wanting to head to Cabo for a couple of weeks.
It's funny, isn't it?
And yeah. Cancun. What brought you to Australia, Arturo?
Well, I fell in love with a Aussie girl. Just followed around Mexico and then ended up here.
I cannot begin to tell you how many chefs that I've had in this studio who aren't from Australia who fell in love with an Australian and followed them here.
Yeah, so they're quite funny.
Owen, you're not from Mexico.
I am the token gringo.
You're the token gringo. How did you get involved with Mexican produce?
I discovered tequila.
And didn't we all?
Well, I had bad tequila once, but I had great sex the next day, but that was something else. That's another story
we'll
for another day, boys.
For another day, another program.
But I had sipping tequila, and it was very much something that I had not expected to experience. It was.
What is sipping tequila?
It's high-quality tequila that you sip on. You don't chug it, you don't slam it, you don't shoot it, you just sip it. And the integrity, the vivacity of that spirit enlightens me. No worm in sipping tequila. Mezcal.
Excellent.
Mezcal can have the worm, but as they say, worms are for tourists.
Good. That's what I like to hear, because we shouldn't be eating worms. I think worms are for birds. This festival is now having its... Is it the fourth festival?
The fourth festival, yeah.
How did it all come about, Arturo?
Well, the Mexican community has grown in the last 12 to 15 years.
How big is our Mexican community?
I think it's close to 850 permanent residents now.
In Melbourne?
A bit more, yeah, in Melbourne. And there's quite a few more around, sort of in Victoria, but we always had an association. We always had a small community, and you know, we're very proud of our traditions and our food and folklore. So, you know, I think we always got together on Independence Day, for example, and celebrate that in a big way. And you know, people are always interested in all things Mexican. I guess, as you're saying, you know, Mexico is quite exotic. And, you know, we sort of realized that. But people wanted to give the people the opportunity to enjoy the, our festivities as well.
Daniel, we have in our mind, when we think of Mexican food, Taco Bell, tacos, guacamole, refried beans, all of that sort of stuff, none of which is really Mexican, is it?
That's exactly right, Peter. And it's funny that you mentioned it, because that's one of the things that made me get involved into... showcasing the Mexican culture to Australia and hopefully to the world in the next few years. People outside of Mexico think they have this idea that we're all about just wearing sombreros and drinking tequila and having
getting
burritos.
Pissed in the afternoon and sleeping in the sun.
Which we do that too, but that's not the
playing,
point.
Playing guitars and with mariachi bands.
Because you're born into it, you don't realize it, but there's an incredible amount of culture in Mexico. And it just... when you're speaking about food, there's an incredible amount of dishes that we can be talking about for hours and days. And people in Western countries, they only know nachos or burritos, which is quite a shame. And when we speak about spirits, there's also a huge range of them, and that gives us the opportunity to present it and to give something to people in other countries that they haven't known before.
And not all of those tequilas, Owen, will have us ripping off our knickers and waving them above our head, I assume.
No.
We will come back very shortly and explore more of this, because I want to get out of the idea out of people's heads that Mexican food is as diverse. If you imagine Italy, for example, where from the north to the south of Italy, there are so many different regional cuisines. I'm assuming Arturo is exactly the same in Mexico.
That is quite true. And one of the things that when I started the restaurant was to actually showcase that sort of diversity. We select different regions at the start of the year. And when we showcase, for example, Yucatan, which is the Mayan region, and the dishes that come out of there, they're completely different than anywhere else in the rest of Mexico. So the same goes with the north part of Mexico. All of the food that they consume over there, all of the chilies or the tortillas, is completely different than the central or south of Mexico.
And very few people would know Tabasco is a region of Mexico and not just a pepper sauce that we put on our eggs or in our Bloody Marys.
Exactly.
12 and a half minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. We'll return very shortly and open up your minds and mine as we explore the goodness that is Mexico ahead of tomorrow's Mexican Festival at Federation Square.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are. It's 13 minutes past one, a splendid Saturday afternoon, a nice time to be resting before you head to Federation Square tomorrow, because the Mexican Festival is taking place. We are exploring all things Mexico today. It sort of kind of feels like a travel show almost as we lead into the escape pod at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's not. We are talking all things food. I want to find out if Mexico makes good wine. Someone's going to be able to answer that question. Owen Smythe, that may actually be you.
Yes, they do. The Baja Peninsula produces some fantastic wine. We actually have some from Santo Tomas, one of the oldest wineries in the world, from the oldest vineyards in North America.
which will come to many people as a surprise.
Yes, came to me as a surprise too.
So I know in South America, obviously, Argentina and there are various regions elsewhere, Chile, producing incredibly good wines, but Mexico is a nice surprise.
Yes, it is.
Are there Mexican wines available here in Australia?
Not many, but it will evolve. Something we did get our hands on a few cases, and we trialled it with a few of our restaurateurs and a few patrons, and look, a little bit of suspicion came into play with Mexican wine. However, the proof is in the pudding.
Same suspicions were around 10 years ago with Chilean and South African wine. I mean, that's not a stretch. What's the grape that's most commonly grown? Do you know?
I'm not too sure.
It's actually a blend. Tempranillo would be one of the former
Spanish ones.
But it was actually the Spanish missionaries and Italian monks that came through on their travels with their Bibles in hand.
Spanish missionaries first.
We had a Carignan Tempranillo Merlot, and we also had a Barbera Sangiovese come through as well. So two exotic blends, but it worked
a number of grapes there that grow beautifully in hot climates.
Yes.
Maintaining the acidity. In Sicily.
Baja California is a beautiful climate there, yeah.
Yep. Indeed. So let's explore a bit of Mexico, guys. So if we think, obviously, there is a border between the United States and Mexico. We all know that it's very close. There's places like Tijuana. You go and drink 5 to 5 cent Corona beers and drink tequila in the sun. That's just the start of Mexico as we work to the south and over onto those various peninsulas. It's a very, very diverse country.
It is huge. Mm. It's really big. People don't realize how big it really is.
So there's a Caribbean side of Mexico where Cancun various sort of those fabulous resorts are. Mm-hmm. And then further south, so there's beaches basically that run all the way down the east coast of Mexico.
From Mazatlán, which is probably one of the most well-known places, tourist places, and south right down to like Acapulco. And then now Oaxaca has been discovered as having the beautiful beaches. There's a lot of Aussies going down to Oaxaca, to Puerto Escondido, for the great surfing there.
And you know what, Pete? The beauty about Mexico is that each state that you go, there's something different. Not only different things to do, but different food, different activities, and different climates, as well as scenery.
How many states?
31.
31. It's a lot.
You put me on the spot with my geography lessons, but I think I got it right.
In a country that's roughly the size of what? If you were to
100 million.
100 million people. Physically, like geographically, size-wise, it's probably...
About a third of Australia.
About a third of Australia. Mm-hmm. So a third of Australia, four times the population, 31 states. And I'm assuming each of those states has a regional identity, a regional cuisine, a regional drink.
That's right.
Yes, well, mezcal actually is one of the most diverse denominations of origin. It's actually the largest denomination of origin for any spirit or any alcohol product. Think of champagne being a small DO.
Well, that's tiny.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, tequila, that is a denomination of origin, and that's very small, but mezcal eclipses that.
Okay, so when we talk about mezcal, what parts of Mexico then does that denomination cover?
It's generally the central area. It does surround the tequila region, but you've actually got much larger states. So you think of the topography, the diversity of the climate, the soil conditions, the temperature, the altitude, the rainfall.
I was going to say,
it all comes into play.
Rainforests, mountains,
deserts.
Deserts, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all there in one small country.
Originally, mezcal came originally from Oaxaca and Guerrero State. But they found that they can make, for example, tequila can be made just out of one agave plant.
Right.
Which is the blue agave variety. Mm-hmm. And that's grown mainly in the state of Jalisco.
Which is a cactus.
It's not a cactus. It's not considered a cactus. It's like a pine.
Okay.
Like a huge pine.
It is
like
a succulent. Pine. It's part of the lily family.
See, I learn new stuff every day on this program. I love it. Part of the lily family, it's a succulent, not a cactus. So all of the stereotypes that exist around us drinking cactus juice is just
false.
Not right.
Well, there's a
Daniel's
bit of
Daniel's got to lead across the desk and punch me in the head in a minute.
There's a bit of a stereotype there, Pete, because back in the day, I'm speaking 50, 60 years ago, the most cheap and popular drink for the Mexican workers to have is called pulque, and that's actually a cactus drink. So that's where the stereotype comes from.
Okay, thank you. Called pulque. Do they still make it?
They still make it, and it's becoming quite fancy nowadays. It's funny what happens in Mexico. Let's go back 70 years ago. Tequila used to be not a fancy drink, or it wasn't considered a fancy spirit. Now it became popular, and then mezcal was the thing that that wasn't considered, let's say, high end. Mm. And nowadays mezcal is actually quite more expensive than tequila. And with pulque, we're observing that the trend it's going on the same direction.
What's the difference between mezcal and tequila? Because tequila can be called mezcal.
Tequila originally was mezcal. Mezcal was the overriding terminology for the distillate from the agave plant.
Right.
And tequila became popular through American tourists visiting that particular
township. Aren't they responsible for everything?
And it was really a marketing tool. Mm. They identified that the Americans were taking these bottles of this spirit back, which was mezcal, and it was very popular. It was 100% agave, and they were saying, hey, we've got this stuff called tequila. We got it from tequila. So the name stuck. As in, like champagne, it's just sparkling
also,
wine.
Also, in the late 50s, from Acapulco, a lot of American tourists going to Acapulco. We're just talking about
that's where the cruise ships used to come in.
Yeah. And then they started to drink margaritas, which became a thing of a generation, you know, drinking margaritas, which are still very popular. Mm. One of the most popular cocktails in the world, actually.
Is a margarita.
Yes, it is.
Must have salt around the glass.
Oh, you have to.
Otherwise, it's not a margarita. So how much of an influence did... So if we... I want to sort of go back to the 70s, which I don't know if many of you will remember, but there was a TV show called The Love Boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
American TV show, and that used to pull into Puerto Vallarta, which is on the western side of Mexico.
Yeah, correct.
So if we were to think about Puerto Vallarta, which was probably our first introduction to Mexico, apart from Acapulco, the difference between there and the west coast, there in the east coast.
Yeah, the east coast, which is the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The beaches are not really beautiful because that is more the on the Pacific side.
Mm-hmm.
You get more of the wild sort of waves and really beautiful areas. I think also because of the volcanic sort of trend that comes down through Mexico and the climate sort of allows it, you know, to be template all year round.
Mm-hmm.
In the east side of Mexico.
So which is the Caribbean side?
Well, not so much. It's the Gulf of Mexico from Texas right down to Tabasco, Campeche and that. Yeah, there's some places that are beautiful, but not just you don't get the sort of beaches that you get in the west coast.
So let's talk about the food. The food of Mexico, as we said, is as diverse as the food of Italy or the food of Australia.
Yeah, true.
What are some of those key ingredients that make up Mexican food everywhere? Yeah. Is there such a thing?
Most importantly, I think the staple of the Mexican diet is the corn.
Corn.
Yeah. Chilies.
Yep.
Beans. And, you know, those three combined with a lot of different meats, you know. I read some while ago that there are 96, I think, different varieties of chilies in Mexico.
96?
Yeah. So it's quite a lot. So
habanero?
Out of 160 in the world, something like that. But the variety of chilies is very important in the Mexican diet, or, you know, because there's lots of other dishes where you mix the chilies with other ingredients.
Does that make all Mexican food hot, or chilies can be sweet rather than hot?
Not all the food is hot, but yeah, we love hot food. So
I love Mexican food.
But you got to, the street food, like it's very popular. So, you know, you get some tacos in the street and then you have your different salsas on the table.
Yep.
So you just help yourself. Mm-hmm. So usually they'll be pretty hot.
Another thing that I believe that it's quite impressive for people that are coming as foreigners into Mexico is that each state or each region still projects a bit of the heritage that the tribes in the pre-Hispanic times had when we talk about culinary culture.
Mm-hmm.
So down south you have the Mayans, which I think is one of the most popular Mexican tribes before the Spanish came to conquer Mexico. They use certain spices. One of them is the achiote. Then you go down to the center of the region, and there's also another influence. So Arturo is the expert on this, but I think that's something amazing that I don't think many parts of the world have that these days.
Yeah, it's just, you know, how you transport yourself from region to region, and you really feel like, you know, you got to another country once you get there, you know, with the variety of colors and flavors and tastes. So, you know, it's quite exciting, really, to go travel through Mexico.
I want to do a bit of a history lesson as well, so we'll do that after we have some music and we clink some glasses together there, Owen, because we have to go. There's a range of mezcal out there I have to try. So if I start to slur through the program, you know that I'm sneaking outside to partake of something mezcal or tequila.
You have to try.
But I want to talk about the history, because every country, regardless of who it is, develops a culinary history because of the history of its indigenous people. So
true.
Who was there before the Spanish? Before the Spanish influence happened.
Yeah.
We'll explore all of that as well. And Owen, I want to bring you more into the conversation as well about how a gringo manages to do so well with calling himself Mr. Mexico. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 25 past one. Tell us about this music, Daniel, that I'm going to play, because you chose it.
Well, this is one of the most popular mariachi songs. Pretty much in every Mexican party, if you have a mariachi band, you play that. It's called El Son de la Negra.
Well, let's listen to some of that, and we'll be back very shortly with some after this music and some messages to continue the discussion about Mexico. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 25 minutes past one.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. If the slurring starts, I've been drinking tequila. No, I've just had a wee little tiny taste of mezcal. Now, I want to talk about the difference, because I tasted two things out there.
Yes, that was a tequila and a mezcal.
While we're listening to the mariachi music was called
El Son de la Negra Pit.
Which I'm son is son
is like no, the, tune, son. the tune
of the
black girl the La Negra
the black, because I knew Negra was black,
yeah.
So the tune of the black girl, who was the black girl?
I got no idea, Pete.
Why is it called the tune of the black girl?
Like most of the Mexican songs, it's a guy singing about a girl he likes. That was a perfect example.
Been the foundation of music since,
and the Mexican culture too.
We banged a couple of sticks together.
But you know that song, Pete. You play it to a group of Mexicans, especially overseas, and we all just start shouting and screaming and carry on.
And you do that. What's that thing you did before when we put it on?
What's that?
We love to yell. We love a good yell.
Yeah, exactly.
So tomorrow, when people are down at Federation Square, there's going to be this sort of music down there.
Absolutely,
yeah?
Yes. Yep.
Excellent.
There's going to be a traditional folk dance by the Mexican dance group.
Mm-hmm.
They've been together for I think around 10 years now, and they showcase traditional regional Mexican dance, folk dance, with different dresses and very colorful, very beautiful.
And again, does the folk dancing differ via region?
Yes, totally. Absolutely.
Sorry. When I'm just sitting here, I almost feel like I'm ignoring you, but it's not often I can have this sort of level of conversation with with natives. Talk to me about those two drinks we just tasted, because they're both extraordinarily different.
Yes,
one of them did take my breath away, I have to confess.
That was the very first one. We should have tempered you with a little bit of cerveza or maybe a glass of water. However, the first one was a Don Choi or Tentico. It's a reposado, and it's from the state of Zacatecas.
A reposado means?
Rested. And this one was particularly rested in red wine barrels for 12 months, giving it a little bit more of an exotic note, much richer on the palate.
And there's a smokiness that...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A hint of smokiness.
Where does that come from?
The cooking of the pine, of the agave plant, is different than the tequila.
I can still taste it on my lips, that smokiness.
And we'll have even smokier ones to come.
Excellent. I might be dialing an Uber to get me home and leaving my car here in the city. No, I need to get home. So the difference, I want to go back to this difference between mezcal and tequila, because I think it's an interesting thing.
Tequila is steamed in autoclaves, like big pressure cookers, and that steam, the heat, converts the carbohydrates into sugars, of which they then break down using machines in the industrial areas of tequila. But it was originally done with wooden hammers, and they used a donkey to pull a stone around. It's called a tahona, and that would break the fibers down, and then they would add it into large wooden vats, add water, and that would become agua miel, honey water is the translation.
Right.
And that honey water would have a low sugar level, and from that sugar level, like wine, it would then ferment. So the natural yeasts in the air.
So you need yeasts and you need sugar to make alcohol.
Yeah, so you have this honey water, agua miel, and it starts to ferment, turning into a low-grade alcohol, and then it's distilled. And that's when it becomes the distillate known as mezcal. And in the tequila region, not using the underground cooking methods, which they use in more traditional mezcal.
Australia has embraced artisan spirits. I had a couple of weeks ago had some people in here talking about distilling gin. Mm-hmm. Is anybody distilling tequila in Australia?
Well, funny you should bring that up. As of 2 weeks away, we'll have mezcal gin producers arriving in Australia.
Mezcal gin?
Yes. This is an exclusive right here, right now.
Oh, there you go. Look, I need a drum roll almost. Do I have one? No, I don't. Mezcal gin. What is mezcal gin?
I am going to find this out too. That's how exclusive this is. I have not even tried it myself.
This is the first time I've heard of it too.
Yeah, exactly. This is the first time Arturo is hearing. You're all hearing about it for the first time.
Wow.
I actually got given the nod yesterday. That's how exclusive
this really is hot off the press. Mm. Do you know what it is, Daniel?
I have no idea, Pete, but I just wanted to mention something before we change the subject, or difference between tequila and mezcal.
Yes.
Obviously, it's different denominations of origin and definite different technicalities when it comes to the producing side of things. But I guess for people that are hearing to us, the important thing that they may get out of this is that the taste may change because of the way that agua miel that Owen mentioned is pre-prepared.
Okay.
Tequila nowadays, because of the huge world demand that it has as an spirit, it has become a very industrial process. Whereas mezcal, they're trying to do a more natural, organic,
still sort of that artisan
process. Artisan.
But you still find some tequila producers that are doing tequila the old way, like Fortaleza tequila. And it's really quite an amazing tequila. They're still doing it with the well, you know, drain all the juices. But because a lot of big corporations have purchased or bought the tequila companies.
And these are things that we would know, like Jose Cuervo and that sort of...
Massive production stuff.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, Pete, is I'm going to guide you quickly how do actually producers get the liquor and you understand the difference in flavor.
Yep.
You have the agave plant.
Yes.
Picture in your mind an agave plant for me. You got it?
Done.
Perfect. All right. Now, so what producers do is they take away all the spines and all the spikes and all the leaves, and they end up with the heart of the plant, which is actually the seed. It's as big as a pineapple, so we actually call them pineapples, and it's as hard as a rock. So it's very hard to break into it. When you do a tequila, like I said, it's a very industrial process, so using machines and chemicals, it's not hard, but we said that mezcal, we want to keep it natural. So what they do is they cook the pineapple in the agave fields. They dig a hole in the ground, put a hot rocks together with hot wood, drop some pineapples
there.
So
similar to a hangi, if we were
in Yeah,
and, that. And it's, it, they create a natural oven, and obviously they cover that with dirt, and the smokiness of the rocks and of the wood stays there. So that's one of the main taste difference between mezcal and tequila. Mezcal has this smokiness to it, which adds another dimension, not only when you're sipping it, but also if you're doing cocktails with it. It brings another dimension to the drink, and you can create more combinations with it.
And the other thing, Pete, is that what you mentioned before about the worm in the bottle, a lot of people think that tequila comes with a worm.
And that's supposed to make us a bit ghostly like LSD.
Mm-hmm.
It's an hallucinogen. I think that's a part of...
Yeah. I have played so much with people with that. So much fun with that. But mezcal, you know, there was just to make it a difference, a point of difference, you know, and it became a huge marketing tool when you know, as it evolved and people were more interested in buying mezcal. And now you find, you know, bottles of mezcal of a finer quality with three worms, or now they even put a scorpion on it. There's a bottle of mezcal with a scorpion in it.
Really?
Yeah. So now you find also the mezcal bottles, they come in with worm salt. So you can eat a bit of chili and warm.
We have some here for you.
Excellent. I was about to say, somebody just... Is this a marketing opportunity that somebody's created, or is this traditional?
It was traditional to have the salt and the worm. But then they decided to create a worm salt. And it was really delicious. It's really nice, actually.
Fascinating. I can't wait to check it out, I'm sure. I did mention before that I wanted to talk about the history of Mexico, because its history is probably as colourful as anywhere else in the world. The indigenous people of Mexico were who?
The indigenous people of Mexico, the different regions as well, the different cultures. So you got the Aztecs, which was created the combination of different tribes initially, and they landed in... Or they arrived in Mexico City, where Mexico City is now created the big metropolis of Tenochtitlan. But they became a very strong and powerful civilization, and they started to control other smaller tribes and cultures. But we also have in the state, for example, Oaxaca, you had the Toltecs, Olmecs, and you had the Mayans in the Caribbean side. And then
down south?
Further north, you have the more of the tribes like the Jackies and the more than the desert, you know. They did not create a civilization like the other cultures, like in the central part of Mexico, created.
How close are the cultures to North American Indians, or are they completely...
They're very close, yeah. They're very close, especially the north of Mexico. They're very close to the North American Indians, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were more nomads, so they were traveling and following the herds or the, you know...
And what year was Mexico declared a country?
200 years ago, 202 years ago, actually. We had the Bicentenary celebration...
Of independence.
3 years ago.
Of independence, from Spain, yeah.
From Spain.
Yep.
Because the Spanish arrived, the conquistadors arrived in
1492.
Correct.
Columbus.
And then in 1510, they sort of established themselves in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was the first country. So they named Nueva España, or New Spain, from well into North America, right all the way down to South America. So everything was called the New Spain. So there were no countries until the independence.
And so now you're excited that America has a New Mexico?
Yeah,
that's another story, because New Mexico used to be Mexico too, Pete.
Yeah.
Texas, New Mexico,
Texas, California.
California.
Yeah, so you've sort of shrunk in size over the years.
Yeah, we haven't done well, if that's what you're asking.
But there is talk, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that as new world economies grow, Mexico is considered one of those new world economies that is going to dominate the world global financial in
yeah, you have to really understand.
Time.
Yeah, Mexico is such a incredibly rich country.
Mm.
Oil, agriculture, minerals. Most of the I can't even remember the figures now, but most of the world's silver
comes
was
Mexico.
Taken out of Mexico. Gold
is
as well.
Is there any left?
Well, not much, no. I think it's all in the Vatican.
Please don't get me started on the Vatican. We don't have near enough time. Look, we were going to broach another story today, but I think we're just going to keep talking Mexico because there is so much we have to cover before the festival kicks off tomorrow. The festival is in Federation Square. Are those women associated with you? Are they Mexican women? No?
No.
Okay, they were looking at you quite interested. Maybe they could be later on. The Mexican festival. So there is all sorts of things happening in Federation Square tomorrow where you can tantalize your taste buds, you can be tickled with tequila, you can be mesmerized by mezcal, and of course the food.
And the food. There's going to be, I think it's about 20 establishments.
Yeah, there's that are representing the 32 states of Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. So every establishment is going to have some sort of food from different regions.
Mm-hmm.
And, Los Amates has been doing traditional Mexican food, so we're very proud to sort of not only be part of that, but to showcase some of the most traditional street food dishes.
Let's have some messages. Let's have some more music as well, because I'm loving this Mexican music. Any excuse to play something that sounds like a mariachi band is a good thing to me. Some more music. We might pop out and taste our next round of tequila as well.
Arriba.
Arriba, indeed. It is 18 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. The Escape Pod will follow this program. They'll take you traveling, and you'll experience more of this incredible world right here on your favorite gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. I'm just trying to get some more mariachi music going because we need to listen to it. We'll see how we go with this. I love mariachi music. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 14 minutes to 2. Daniel is one of my guests. Now, you are from Mexican Standoff.
Right. We're at Mr. Mexico.
Yes.
And we are trying to promote one mezcal that just arrived to Australia. It's called Mexican Standoff.
Beautiful. That we just tried something outside as well, and I know that Owen's coming in to talk about it, but it's special because it's the only mezcal made by women, the only distillery, I believe, in all of Mexico.
Correct. It's one of our high-end products in Mr. Mexico. It's called Doña Natalia. It's produced in the state of Durango, and it's the only distillery in Mexico, one of the few distilleries in Mexico that is owned by women, and only women work there. So they in Mexico, you need to understand that the importance of this is that in Mexico tends to be still nowadays a very conservative society, in the way that the roles in society used to be very predetermined by what does a woman do and what does a man does. So in
that
small
old chestnut.
Correct. So in small towns in Mexico, this means quite a lot for us.
And the women are paid above award wages as well, which has caused a little bit of concern amongst the male workers, in that it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, you're paying them, you're going to destroy our, you know, our culture of paying our peasants peanuts. And the women are getting fair wages, being looked after very well. And the quality of that mezcal that you've just tried is incredible. It's got so much charm, so much elegance, but so much underlying power and strength.
Mm. It's beautiful. It's feminine compared to the others, if I can be so ridiculously
bold to say
this.
There's a little bit of clove. The aromas are quite... just very smooth. They're not like intense as all the other mezcals, you know. They're really beautiful.
I wanted to talk briefly, because we were just talking about the traditional roles of women in Mexico. I wanted, because this is again a lesbian radio station, I wanted to talk very quickly. I've just trying to do a bit of a discovery that same-sex marriage is actually legalized at state level in parts of Mexico.
Yes.
I don't know if this map might help. So is it it's performed without restriction in Mexico City and in the states of Chihuahua. Pronounce that for me.
Coahuila, Guerrero, Quintana Roo. Michoacán, there's a little bit happening in Michoacán.
But explicitly banned in some states. So
yes.
I know that's sort of, it's sounding quite like a diverse bit of tolerance for...
But there's still a very strong levels of male-dominated, you know, circles in high society, politics and enterprises, and also, you know, we don't allow women to get involved or be part of it, you know. So I think that it's great for that what is happening in Mexico, that in some areas that, you know, gay marriage is being permitted.
Do you think it will happen right across Mexico?
Look, like we mentioned before, Pete, the Spanish came to conquer the Aztecs and most of the tribes in Mesoamerica, used to be called. They bring Catholicism with them. And actually, still nowadays, Mexico is one of the countries with the most amount of Catholic people in the world. Having said that, there's a huge religious influence in the country. Now,
as there is in Spain.
Absolutely.
Spain in 2005 legalized marriage equality. Yeah. Sorry, I don't want this to get into a political debate. I should be going there.
No, correct. But I would dare to say that even a bit more, because Europe countries have been evolving together with European society, whereas countries outside of that bubble have been stayed a few steps behind. If I dare to say. So, having said that, it's steps like this to see companies that are promoting equal women's rights. It's a huge step for us, and I think that as any other country or society around the world, we will get there at some point.
It's happening a lot in other parts of Mexico with coffee production in Chiapas and Oaxaca. There are coffee areas where women are controlling the trade, and there's the free trade when going to Mexico. The women that produce and package and now export coffee. So it's been really fantastic for these areas of Mexico to develop economically. And a lot of these areas, women were left alone because the men either went to the big cities to find work or went across or over to the north, across the border to the United States to find work. And many of them never came back. So a lot of these little villages, there was only women left in there to run
do the work.
Yep, and do the work. Yeah. So they finally got themselves organized and said, okay, let's do it all.
Owen, how much have you travelled in Mexico?
Not a great deal. I'm well overdue another visit. It was a while since I was there, since I was a young boy. And
yet Mr. Mexico is your business?
It is. I kind of stumbled across it. It sort of evolved. You mentioned before you have an affinity with Pedro Jimenez.
Yeah, I do.
I'm actually
I like it a lot.
I'm actually also a sherry expert, so and I need to talk after this show.
Yeah, we do, because I'm a bit mad for sherry. Yes. So for somebody who trades in Mexico, you haven't visited for how long?
It would be 45 years.
Really?
Yes.
Since you were in Mexico?
Yes.
How do you know what's current, what's new? Or do you rely on people like Daniel?
Owen is smart enough to be advised by locals.
cheeky man. Look, there's a lot to get through as we look at what is happening in the Mexican Festa tomorrow. I'll give it a bit more of a... So it's a Mexican festival. I shouldn't call it a festa. Festa is the local term, is it not?
Fiesta.
Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
Not festa.
Festa is Italian.
Yeah. Expecting to attract more than 40,000 people?
Yeah, last year the record would have been about 45,000 people. And, it was really fantastic. The weather helped.
I was going to say, what's the temperature supposed to be tomorrow?
24 and sunny.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful day to be out drinking some craft beer as well, because Mexicans make really good beer. We know about, obviously, Corona and its similar. Simpatico is also a... Is that a Mexican beer, Simpatico?
No.
Haven't heard of it, no.
No, I don't have heard of
that. Used to drink it in the early 90s, so maybe it's no longer.
American craft beer has slipped into Mexico, and the northern states of Mexico are now producing very strong flavor profiles and diverse flavor profiles as well. We've got a range called Day of the Dead, which is quite apt because that's coming up very soon.
Yeah,
festival. Somebody please translate that. It's
Dia de los Muertos.
Thank you. Yeah. I really am weary, aren't I?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the tequila.
We've got some... Arturo actually has some at his restaurant, Los Amates, and the Pale Ale, which is similar to Sierra Nevada. Mm-hmm. It's an American Pale Ale, very rich in the hops. And there's also an IPA called Hop On or Die. It's an India Pale Ale.
I love the way that people get clever with
Queen of the Night Pale Ale is a big seller. We've also got my immortal beloved, Hefeweizen. There's a Blonde Ale in there and a porter called Pay the Ferryman. So very descriptive and quite exotic.
And these are all Mexican craft beers?
Yes, they are.
Excellent. So all of this can be enjoyed tomorrow. Remember, 32 states of Mexico. So restaurants including Mamacita, Touche Hombre, Los Amates, La Totería, Mexico City, Pacos Tacos, Mesa Verde, Kikiriki, Guzman y Gomez, South American Barbecue, Mad Mex, Santa Ana, Tapas Bar, Taco Truck, Chili's Mexican, El Sabor, and many, many more restaurants. We'll be there. There's Mexican beer. There's mezcal. There's all sorts of things at Federation Square tomorrow.
There's also a little market, and there's also lots of things for kids. The Mexican community, a lot of them, especially a lot of them have migrated in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of they got married there, they came, and they got kids here. So they sort of realized, okay, we need to create things for kids as well. So there's a lot of activities for children as well.
Excellent. What sort of activities for children?
Making piñatas, making, craft things and games.
Face painting.
Mm-hmm. Face painting.
Well, it's not really a festival unless there's face painting for kids, I reckon. The Viva Mexico stage. So local Mexican musicians, folk dance groups, obviously mariachi bands, which is what we've been playing. Salsa as well, salsa bands.
A bit of salsa at the end, correct?
Mexican rock and Mexican DJs.
Yes.
What are they playing?
Well, Mexican rock is quite amazing. We play quite a bit of that in Los Amates sometimes, but it's just that how it evolved. And Mexican rock and roll, for example, in the 60s was really huge, compared to what was happening in America. And then, so musically, Mexico has got, always have very creative bands and groups and people that have come up with fantastic things.
Is there a Mexican pop artist that's hot right now in Mexico?
Right now?
There's quite a few. It doesn't help that I've been 6 years away from the country, but I guess a huge one.
Who's the Justin Bieber of Mexico?
Justin Bieber is called Luis Miguel. Which is about all the
spell
young...
Spell for me.
L-U-I-S.
Right. Sorry, I'm just going to try and find some music to...
Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L.
Cool. We'll see if we can find some music during these quick little messages and return so that we can finish off the show and give you a bit of a hint of what Mexican pop is all about. It's 4 minutes to two. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It is 3 minutes to two. I'm about to hand you over to Jo. She is going to be taking you travelling on the escape pod. She's in there furiously getting ready for the show. So we have about 2.5 minutes, guys. So tomorrow, first of all, we'll talk about Mexican Standoff. If people want to know more about this, Daniel, they can find you at mexicanstandoff.com.mx.
That's it.
And that's your 100% Mezcal Mexicano Agave Espadín. What does that mean?
Espadín is the type of agave that we use,
yep.
And it's 100% organic mezcal.
Beautiful. MrMexico.com.au, that's you, Owen Smythe. People can find out all about all of the things you do, even though you haven't been to Mexico for 45 years. I find that alarming and hilarious, but great at the same time. And Los Amates, Mexican Kitchen at 34 Johnson Street in Fitzroy. You can go to Los Amates, losamates.com.au. Are you doing something special for Day of the Dead?
Yeah, we do. Every year we do a big party and try to... Well, we started that 10 years ago, and people were quite surprised about the Day of the Dead and why we celebrate the death and how we celebrate it. And it's a lot of fun.
Important.
It's important, and we keep our loved ones close, nearby, and we offer them food, drinks, and then we have a party and dance with them.
Sounds like a perfect thing to do. Owen, thank you.
Thank you.
Arturo, thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel, thank you. Luis Miguel, and this is Si No Supiste Amar, which translated
great
means what?
Fit. If you didn't know how to love me.
Right, yeah. He looks like Craig McLaughlin. Just put that in your head. I'll be back next Saturday, leaving you with Joe now, after this song. This is Si No Supiste Amar by Luis Miguel.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.